Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship in San Lorenzo, California. These podcasts are the weekly sermons of Dr. Michael L. Wilson.
If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalms 71. Psalm 71 has no title, as some of these psalms do. Therefore, we do not know who the author is. Some have suggested that it is in fact written by David because it sounds like David. There are phrases in the psalm like, "Rock of my refuge, rock of my fortress." He talks about his enemies. "Do not be far from me, O God. Come quickly, O God." And from that, people speculate that this may be one of David's psalms. It is near the end of book two of the Psalms. And so some have said that, well, it is a good place for David to put a psalm in his old age, even though this has no title. Most commentaries and study Bibles will say that this is a psalm for the aged saint or for someone who has reached old age while still believing in God. And David, having been through a lot in his life, this would fit. We know that David lived to the age of 70. And because of that, when he was reaching 68, 69, he was losing his strength. And he would be able to write a psalm like this. Charles Spurgeon says, "We have here the prayer of an aged believer who in holy confidence of faith, strengthened by a long and remarkable experience, pleads against his enemies and asks further blessing for himself." In looking at this psalm, it is a difficult outline. It is more of a free verse sort of song and poetry. It doesn't have a structure, and so many of the commentators will take it topically, as it were, and look at what it says about different topics. And that is what we shall do today. First, he talks about old age and its problems. Not everybody here is of an old age, we might say, but some are. And the older we get, some have said that the aches and pains that used to come in our youth and dissipate come in our age and do not dissipate. And depending on how we have been in our lives, old age can come at an earlier age to some and older than others. As I said, David lived to the age of 70. And we have people in this world today who are living to be more than 100. So there has been advancements. But even as people get old, they do have the physical difficulties, but they also have the memories of a long life. A person who has had a long life may be able to remember the difficulties and the joys, while someone who is younger may not. If you look at the history of the world, has been a type of idea that has reveled in old age, that old age has been seen as wisdom, has been guidance, that a young person could find a sage, an oracle who is old and ask them, "Well, how do I do this? How do I find a mate? How do I start a business? How do I do these various things?" And a person with 70 or 80 years of experience on this planet might have been able to see many things and give guidance. Of course, young people today, when they receive that counsel, will say, "Yeah, but I got to try it myself." And a lot of people today, especially in the West, want to experience the difficulties themselves and believe that they can do things better than the previous generation. There are several things that this passage talks about. And the first is weakness and loss of former strength or abilities, that as you get older, it is in fact difficult to do the things you did when you were younger. If you look at the Olympics, for example, there aren't many 70 or 80-year-old people doing the high jump because the physical abilities leave us, and that is a difficult part of old age. John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement, he lived from 1703 to 1791, and he journaled almost every day. And on June 28, 1789, he said, "Sunday the 2nd, this day I enter into my 88th, this year I enter into my 86th year. I now find as I grow old, my sight is decayed so that I cannot read a small print unless it is strong light. My strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years ago. My memory of names, whether of persons or places, is decayed. Still I stop a little to recollect them. What I should be afraid of is this, if I took thought for the morrow, that my body should weigh down my mind and create either stubbornness by the decrease of my understanding or peevishness by the increase of bodily infirmities. But thou shalt answer for me, O Lord my God, that as he saw his body deteriorating, he still focused on God and believing that whatever his age, whatever his ability, that God would be with him and God would allow him to continue to go. And even in his 80s, one reason that is called the Methodist movement is that Wesley took a map of London and made it a grid and said, on Monday I'm doing this street, on Tuesday I'm doing this street, on Wednesday I'm doing this street. He had a method, therefore you have the Methodists. And even in his 80s, he was going door to door, knocking on the doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. Because no matter what age you are, if you know Jesus Christ, you can still tell people about Jesus Christ. A second thing that we see in this passage is that when this person, may it be David, got older, the enemies that he had when he was young did not leave him alone. As we've talked before, David was a king, and he was a king for 40 years. And we may not like our leaders, but we have the confidence that in 2 to 4 years, we can vote them out and we can change our leadership. They didn't have that in Israel. They had someone who was born into a kingship, kind of, and they lived as king until they died or were overthrown. And so when David was in his 40s, people didn't like him as king and realized they couldn't do anything about it. When he was in his 60s, they still didn't like him as king and they knew they couldn't do anything about it. And there's also the added view that as a king got older, you could begin to kind of do the over-under on when they were going to die, and you could have your forces ready to swoop in. And that's what his son Absalom did, is that before David had died, while he was old, Absalom tried to take the throne and tried to overthrow him. He couldn't wait until David had gone to meet his maker. And so the idea that troubles we have today, if you had perhaps financial difficulties when you were young, you might have those follow you into middle age and old age. If you had problems with family, if you didn't outlive them all, if they were still around, then you could possibly still have problems with family. If you look back at your youth, at difficulties that were not taken care of, as you get older and work through life, those things will go with you. I have known people who really didn't like living in California because it was just difficult and the people weren't nice and they had problems with the people. So they moved back east, and strange thing, they said, the people back east, the people were mean and they weren't nice and they weren't friendly. And I think the trick there is, well, you followed you back east. You're the one who's not friendly. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror and see how many problems we're causing, because if we're causing problems with people, as the years progress, that will not change unless we change. We cannot think that when we retire, all of our problems will be gone. For example, any problems we created in our younger life will come about in our old age. One commentator put it this way: the speaker might have expected mature age to bring exemption from such attacks, but that is not the case. If people don't like you in your 20s, they may not like you in your 40s or your 60s or your 80s, and you need to take care of those issues early. The friendlier you are when you're younger, the more friends you will have when you're older. And the third is being alone with no one to help. I have heard this from many people who have made it into their 90s that all of their friends have passed away. And it is true that somebody has to be the last one standing, but it's difficult if you're outliving all of your friends. And I've heard that from people who used to belong to this church and do not go here anymore. And they're in their 90s, and they say that there's nobody left, that all the friends they had in this church are gone, all the friends they had growing up are gone, that when you make it to 96 or 98, all of your friends are gone and there is no help, that you may need to hire help, depending on how you live and where you live. But the weakness of age, the difficulties of age, and the loneliness of age. But if you have lived that long, and you've lived that long as a Christian, you have something that is irreplaceable, and that is a lifelong look at how God has treated you, about how God has been with you. And there are truths about God that if you try to talk to a teenager and say, well, God is faithful, for example, they don't have the track record. But you talk to somebody who is much older, who has lived 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years as a Christian, and they will say, absolutely, they have tried it out, they have tested it, they have gone into difficult situations, and God's faithfulness is always there. And I think we need to listen to these stories. We need to listen to this track record, because if God is faithful with this whole generation of people, God is going to be faithful with the next generation of people, and God is going to be faithful to the next generation of people. And we can read the words of Scripture and we can say, yeah, I believe it. But if I can meet somebody who has been saved for 50 years, and they say, yeah, here and here and here and here and here, I really messed up, but God is faithful, then that puts teeth on it, that puts flesh on it, that puts truth on it that I can take to myself, and I can talk to these people and I can say, yeah, but I'm in this. And did God ever get you out of that? And they say, let me tell you, because they have stories and stories and stories. The longer you live, the more collection of events you have proving God's faithfulness. And the second thing is, you have God's righteousness. God, we can kind of throw that around, that God is righteous, meaning He is good. But God is always right. God is perfect. God is trustworthy. God is the best of the best. And if we put all of our eggs in His basket, so to speak, for decade after decade after decade, God's not going to tip over the basket. And I think the value of reading older saints who have written or talking to them about how God has been right and best and perfect every step of the way is another way that we can say, yes, it is absolutely true. And David also looks ahead at the next generation. There is the idea that the previous generation, eventually they're all going to pass away. There's nobody around, for example, who fought in the Civil War. That generation is gone, but they told their kids and they told their cousins and the uncles told their nephews, and people told people about Jesus Christ, so that the next generation knows about Jesus Christ, and the next generation knows about Jesus Christ. And the culture of telling each generation previous, telling the next generation all about Jesus Christ, does seem to be falling apart, at least in America, that ever since the 60s, you have a whole batch of people who didn't go to church. And of course, if they didn't go to church because it was foolish, then their kids didn't go to church, and then they have kids and they didn't go to church. And you need organizations like Teen Challenge, for example, to pick up the lost kids who were not told about Jesus Christ, were not told the truth about God. And they need to, you guys needed to get it from a different organization because the previous generation has dropped the ball. But biblically, that's kind of how God wanted it set up, is that Adam and Eve told their kids and their kids and their kids down to Noah, and then Noah told his kids and down to Abraham. And it's every generation. You look at the Bible and you read the story about Abraham and you go, how did he even know about God? Well, he knew about God because there were stories. There were stories that were passed down about creation and the flood, and the story of Job was probably known to Abraham. And these stories taught people about who God was. And when I was raised in Sunday school, I heard all the stories of Samson and Delilah and of Gideon and of the walls of Jericho, and Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and all these stories that have been taken out of the Bible and simplified for children, so that when I was growing up, I had a knowledge of what God can do and what God had been doing, and I was able to put that into a belief in Jesus Christ and grow that into a mature faith, because it all started with the stories of who God is. And there's not only stories in the Bible, there's stories in the heads of people who have lived longer than you about who God is. And we need to value those, and we need to listen to those, and we need to understand those, so that what do you do when it's all said and done? As this psalm says in verse 22, I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall shout for joy when I sing praise to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And if David wrote this, what David does often in the Psalms is he describes a problem, and then he says, as you get me out of this problem, Lord, I will teach people that first you got me out of this problem, and I will teach people who you are and what you have done. And this psalm ends the same way, is that if we have any period of time, whether you've been saved for 6 months or whether you've been saved for 60 years, you have a track record with God, and you take that and you tell people about it and you praise and worship Him. And if God has rescued you and shown you and kept you for a period of years, you have that story, you have that road, that track record to praise and worship God. And that is what we do at any age, is we look at the older saints and we say, praise God for what you brought them through. And we look at the younger saints and we say, praise God for saving them out of the world. And we together, old and young, newly saved and oldly saved, are able to praise God and lift Him up and teach others to praise God because of what He's done. If you take any period of time and look at how God has dealt with His people, you will see He has never disappointed. He has never been unfaithful. He has never been unrighteous. God is the same way back in the Old Testament and up to today. And we need to see that in our lives, and we need to tell other people about it, and we need to be people that praise Him. God is working in the life of every believer. God has been working in some people here for half a century or more. And all this proves is that a life lived for God is never a life wasted. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I thank You that You work in the lives of people such that they can tell their story. As we have seen in Teen Challenge, as they are telling their story, I pray that You would open our eyes to what You are doing in our lives, that we can be people to tell our story, to tell who You are, in our lives. Lord, we praise you for that. We ask your blessing upon the meal, and we ask your blessing upon the remainder of the day. I ask a special blessing and mercy upon those of Teen Challenge, and we ask all this through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Cornerstone Fellowship is located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:45 a.m. Our website is livingfreetoday.org, and our phone number is 510-278-2622. May God continue to bless you as you serve your King. God bless.